Parenting a child with ADHD can be stressful. Chad's here to help. Parent-to-parent training courses offered by Chad are designed to fit easily into your already busy schedule. Get the training you need online, on demand, or in your community. Learn from parents who have experienced the same challenges as you. Topics include managing ADHD, proven parenting strategies, and educational rights for your child with ADHD. Register today, chad.org/parents. Chad members eligible for special member pricing. Click, join, get involved.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, AttentionTalkRadio.com, AttentionTalkVideo.com, and AttentionTalkNews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at Facebook.com/AttentionTalkRadio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
All right, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and we're having a show tonight that has been long awaited, dialing in ADHD stimulant medications. And when I say long awaited, is it's been fascinating to me over the last 5 years of interviewing experts. There are certain topics that are kind of taboo. It's really hard to get anybody to come in and talk about it. And it really gets at the truth. It gets at the heart. It gets at the complexity of what's going on. So often everybody's looking for the simple solution. And that simple solution is actually the hard solution because you spin your wheels. And we're going to talk today about prescribing ADHD stimulant medications, and we're going to talk about the complexities with a goal of making it simpler for you to kind of get to finding something that will help you. Understand that, like Rick Green, I think he coined the phrase, I don't want you to take meds. I really, really don't. Like, I don't want to take my thyroid medication. But if your life is improved and enhanced, we're not really anti-meds. We're anti-suffering. So, with that, real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, March 30th in the year 2016 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. With us in our virtual studio is Dr. David Pomeroy. Because of his scheduling, tonight's show was pre-recorded, and we're going to run the show, what we have here, in just a second. But real quickly, a few announcements. Number one, the this year's International ADHD Professional Conference, hosted by the ADHD Coaching Organization, is being held in Reston, Virginia on April the 28th to May the 1st. This is not just for coaches, for professionals who want to learn about coaching skills to use in their world. Teachers can use this. Parents can use this. There's many, many physicians out there that are actually learning how to coach and working with their patients. So it's just not for coaches, and we encourage you to check it out. The website is ADHDProfessionalConference.com. Also, one of the things that I'm doing is that we've actually done over 450 interviews between Attention Talk Radio and Attention.com with over 210 hours of total content, which is overwhelming to anybody, even to myself sometimes. Literally, we actually just have a document with titles and summaries, and I think it's like 70 pages long at this point in time. So what we did is I put together my top 10 favorite interviews on Attention Talk Radio, and you can download that at digcoaching.com/ATR. You can download that, get some links to some stuff that I think really kind of makes some sense, and I have a pretty good sense that this particular show tonight will be added to that list sometime in the future. Also, we're all about paying attention to attention and helping those with ADHD move forward. And some people kind of scratch their head why we promote other people's podcasts, and that is because good information is good information, and it's really about helping you. And for these reasons, I wanted to announce the launch of Distraction, which is a podcast that's hosted by a psychiatrist and New York Times bestseller, Dr. Ned Hollowell. He's the author of 22 books, one of which was Driven to Distraction. I personally am honored for the sheer luck of recognizing that that book was printed in 94. We did a show in 2004 during ADHD Awareness Week acknowledging its 20 years in print, but more importantly, the first reference to ADHD coaching was actually printed in that book. We've had Ned on a couple times. So with that being said, his new podcast, you can learn more information about that by going to distractionpodcast.com. I think he's going to do a weekly bit with some other things kind of thrown in the side. It's conversational with strategies, and if you've heard Ned speak or whatever, you know it's not going to be scripted. It's going to be a stream of consciousness, which is always really pretty good. So let's see. I think that covers all of our announcements, so let's get into me and the show. Again, as you listen to our interview with Dr. David Pomeroy, I encourage you to pay attention to the details, but at a high level, what the whole sole purpose of the show was to increase awareness. This all too often you go with ADHD to go to a mental health professional and they prescribe you medications and you walk away thinking it's like penicillin. I take the pill every day for 10 days and it's taken care of. Or take two aspirin and call me in the morning. And it just is not that simple. In fact, it's actually very complex. When I'm coaching people, I encourage them to expect to have to change their meds 6 to 10 times. Just adjust their expectations because it's an art form, not so much as a science, and there's lots of variability. And in our interview with Dr. Pomeroy, I think we did a great job of really kind of ferret out some of the physical stuff, the side effects, and even the insurance companies and what's getting covered actually kind of plays into that. So kick back. We hope you enjoy the show. We hope you get some insight out of this. Remember, again, I give credit to Rick Green for doing this. We don't want you to take medications. I want to be clear about that. We don't want you to, but if it does improve your life, it's worth considering. And if you are, then you need to go into it with open arms. So we hope this interview helps inform you. And with that, we'll roll the tape.
David Pomeroy, MD, specializes in treatment of adults and children with ADHD and related condition. He completed training in family medicine in 1979 and has been board-certified family physician since that time. After 26 years of full-spectrum family, in 2005, he chose to start a practice solely devoted to diagnosing and treatment of ADHD of all ages that goes along with it. He has seen over 3,000 patients for evaluation of ADHD since 2005 and continues to be a source of satisfaction for him in working with his crowd. And with that, David, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeff. It's great to be here.
Today, this show is so focused on paying attention to attention. And when people take medications, what I find that they pay attention to is the instructions. You go in, maybe you have strep throat, you have to take penicillin every day, and you take that pill, and it's just dialed in, and it just works. It just takes care of things. But the thing about ADHD, particularly stimulant medications, is it's really not that easy. Getting the right dose at the right time is really more of an art form, I think, than a science. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's exactly right, Jeff. Preparing for the show, you had asked, well, set out kind of how you decide, and there aren't specific steps. It's like kids who come up with the answer to a math problem, and the teacher says, well, show your work, and that's almost impossible. And at this point, there are a lot of different answers. So I'm looking at a lot of different factors in the person's history, their age, all kinds of things, and just getting a, sometimes it's flip a coin. Well, we could start here or there. Usually there are some things that influence my decision on which med to start with, but I have to emphasize to people, this is just a starting point, and there'll probably be other things we have to maybe add or change to a different type of medication. So it's really, everybody's unique in terms of what's going to work.
And that's one of the reasons why I was so thrilled to have you on the show, because I think the key here is really to educate people on what some of those factors that might influence where you start, and really emphasize to those out there that this is a process that you need to work in tandem with your mental health professional to get right. So part of it is they look at some influencing factors and choose a place to start,
And your job as the individual is to go out and to observe what's going back on and go back and try to articulate what's happening in your day-to-day experience so that you can make adjustments in that process to get to the right med. And that is, I would like to emphasize, everybody, this is really, really a process. I'm just a wild guess. Off the top of your head, how many people do you set a dosage and not change? In other words, you get it right the first time. Just a guess.
That in terms of dosage, that's very unlikely because I always start at the lowest possible dosage. And so if someone is taking 10 milligrams of one medication and they really need 30 for it to be effective, they can take 10 milligrams for a month. They aren't going to see anything. The first day they take 30, they'll notice that things are different. And about 3 days later, they'll figure that wasn't just a good day. This works.
Wow. So you start
chances
slow.
Of very first dose working is
so you
very
start
low.
And work your way up.
Right.
What would be
now,
the danger
one
of
thing,
starting high?
Someone could end up with a lot of side effects. Someone, you know, I can't look at a guy who's 240 pounds and he's 48 years old and say, boy, you know, I think you're going to need 40 milligrams. So that's where we're going to start. He may need only 20, but his son, who's age 12, could use 50. So there's really no predicting on the basis of age or gender, weight, anything else.
Well, it seems to me if you take the low, start low and move up approach, you'll work your way into it. And I love what you said is, you know, 10 might not work, but the first day you take 30, if that's the right dosage, you'll know it. I think there's probably a little bit of a danger if you start high and work your way, because if there's a bad side effects or if it's too much.
Right.
You know, 'cause in the internet I hear these things like zombies or I lose my creativity or anxiety and stuff like that. And it seems to me that if you had that in your first experience, it you might shy away from it altogether. Thoughts?
Sure, sure. And one of the key things is that if someone has side effects that they just do not want to tolerate even the next day, don't take anymore. And the good thing about at least the stimulant medicines, pretty unique of any, that what you take that day, you're going to see the result that day. If you don't like the result, don't take anymore. There won't be the side effect the next day. It's gone.
So it's immediate.
The medicine's
you take it,
gone.
So if you want to stop, you just stop, and the next day you're good to go.
Right. Then you call me up and say, wait a second, we got to change things.
Mm-hmm. So everybody out there, just the key is this is an art form. There's factors that influence where to start, and I like the whole process of start low and move up. When you're in this process, one of the things just in my notes that you look at is if a person has a bit of anxiety, that has an influence of whether you start them on a amphetamine or a methamphetamine. Can you speak to that for a second?
Yeah, though, let me correct one thing. It's not a methamphetamine. We don't use that. It's a methylphenidate.
Methylphenidate.
That's right. Amphetamine. Yeah. And so there can be a confusion. Meth or methamphetamine, of course,
yep.
A very dangerous street drug.
Yep.
The amphetamines used for ADD are chemically somewhat related, but certainly not the same. And the methylphenidates aren't chemically related at all. So in general, and this is a wide generalization, amphetamines tend to have a little bit more edge to them. So someone who already has some anxiety, or they say, yeah, I get real sweaty and nervous if I have to give a talk, a presentation, or someone who's, I had one 11-year-old who was upset he didn't do well on a paper because then he wasn't going to be able to go to a good college and get into a good law school.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, let's slow down. You don't have to worry about college based on one essay. But that's someone I'd say, let's try a methylphenidate first. But it's very much try it and see how it goes. I think these are very safe medications when they're taken in the dosages they should be, and by mouth. There's many, many, many years of experience with them.
Mm-hmm. So one factor, start low and grow. Another one is if there's a little bit of anxiety, it turns on maybe where you start. Also, another thing that I think that you look at is if a person can take a pill or not, because there are some liquid mm-hmm. forms of some of these medications now, correct?
Well, there are a few liquid ones, but even easier, each kind either of the amphetamines or methylphenidates, you can, the ones that are a capsule, which are the longer acting ones, you can open them up, and in the case of one of them, you can put it into water. It dissolves very well. Drink the water or even part of the water if you want to start with a lower dose. But others that have those little tiny beads in it, you can open up the capsule, put it on some applesauce or yogurt, something. It doesn't get chewed, and take it just fine.
Oh, I've not heard that. So if you don't chew it, you can just take that out and put it in applesauce. It's easier to get it down into your stomach. You don't want to chew it because you'll mess up the time release.
You'll get the whole thing all at once, and then you're off to the races. Then you're zooming around. So the idea, each long acting kind, many of them have the same mechanism with the little bead. Some of them dissolve at first, some later, but others have different ways of delivering it over time. There's mm-hmm. one methylphenidate that you can't break up. It has to stay intact as a tablet, and others you can open up.
Got it. Okay, well, let's go to break real quick. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the difference between the immediate release and the extended release and some of the dynamics that kind of go into that, and then we'll take a look at some other factors. Everybody, if you want to learn more about Dr. Pomeroy, go to ADD Center of – it's Bellevue, is that correct?
Bellevue. Uh-huh.
That's spelled B – let me start from the beginning. ADD Center, C-E-N-T-E-R, of, O-F, B-E-L-L-E. VUE.com. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Dr. Pomeroy. We're having a great conversation about dial-in ADHD stimulant medications. Before the break, I alluded that we had talked about this, but Dr. Pomeroy, the medications come in fast-acting and then extended release, or sometimes it's called immediate release, and you have the different types of drugs, and then you have the different durations. To me, there's quite an art form in trying to match the duration of the medication with the lifestyle of the individual. Want to speak to that for a minute?
Sure. That's part of the primary thing. I guess there are 2 steps. The first thing I need to determine, or patient and I need to determine, what amount of what drug does it take for it to work at all? Once there's an effect, then we look at, okay, how long does it last? Does it enable someone to be at their best function, whatever they're doing, for as long as they need to on any given day? And my goal is to have the medication be transparent. That is, the person doesn't feel like they're drugged or speedy or slowed down. They just can go about their business. The part of the tricky thing is that even a long-acting medication, which by the initial testing that's done before it's even released, may say, oh, this is going to last 12 hours. For some people, it may last 7, and others 9. So where that gets to, okay, we know that 30 milligrams of this medication works, but it only goes to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And if you're trying to finish up your work and then get home and help with things at home, 3 o'clock doesn't cut it. So then we might add an immediate release one, and those kick in within 15 to 30 minutes usually, and that's going to last maybe 4 or 5 hours. Okay, now you're up to 7 o'clock. Someone else where the long-acting one only lasts till 1, they can probably take a second dose of that long-acting one. It's going to go longer. So the immediate release ones work well. The problem is, and the reason the long-acting ones were even developed, was in the 1990s, there were only the immediate release ones. Well, if you were a child, and of course, back then it was believed that everybody grew out of ADD at 18, so only kids needed medicine. At school, they had to go to the school nurse to get their medication. It had to be before the first dose ran out, and that was a problem. Some kids didn't want other people to know they were taking medicine. Okay, your break is at 12:15, but you need the medicine at 11:30. It just made for a lot of problems, which is why the long-acting ones were developed. But some people who are very specific, regimented, I guess you'd say, they do fine on the immediate release ones. Take one at 8, take one at noon, take one at 4, and it works well for them.
When a person, well, number one, you talk about kids in school, that's one thing, but I've also worked with adults too before, that they're in the working day.
Sure.
And sometimes if it's fast paced, they'll miss the time that they were supposed to take the medication.
Oh, yeah.
And so all of a sudden there's this gap that kind of creates, which creates some problems. And I also, from some of the people that I've worked with, they describe as a little bit of a rebound effect when they're kind of coming off of medication, particularly the instance release. Is there something to that, or is that just
there can be different medications have higher likelihood of a rebound. I'm a little reluctant to mention specific names, but that is one of the side effects to look at. Sometimes a long-acting one may have the rebound. Okay, then I take the short-acting about half an hour to 45 minutes before that rebound would start. So you're continuing a more smooth action of the medication. They may or may not have rebound then when the short one goes out. So rebound is a consideration. I think it is there more with the immediate release because they're fast up, faster down. Most of the long-acting ones take a little while to kick in, but then they drift off most of the time.
So
for some people, there's a rebound.
Going back to this partnership, which is what this show is about, is we're talking about first getting the right amount of the right amount of the right drug, and then matching the durations. And as you described, if you just took a long extended release and it started to come off at like 3 o'clock, for a student coming home, not being able to articulate that to your mental health professional, they wouldn't necessarily know that maybe that you needed instant release right after that to get you through those homework hours when you get back. Or if you're rebounding and you're coming home from work and you're kind of cranky at that point of time of day, you're focused at work, but you're coming home and all of a sudden you're argumentative with your significant other, that can create some real problems. And Dr. Palmer, what person, you're not going to know that unless the person is giving you some feedback on that. Is that accurate?
That's right. And I ask people the number one in terms of figuring out if it's effective. Okay, what do you see as the two or three things that mostly get in your way? And commonly for adults, they can say, well, someone starts talking and I'm thinking about something else that triggered in my mind from something they said, or I'm figuring I got to remember to bring home milk and bread tonight. And all of a sudden you realize you haven't the slightest idea what the person you're talking with is saying. And so that's one. Other people will say, I can't read more than about two paragraphs of a newspaper story. I have to get on to something else. And those people come back when the medication's working and say, I not only read the whole first page of it, I went to the to be continued part. I completed the first book I think I've ever read in 40 years. So those are the signs that it works.
Yep.
And someone at work can say, you know, everything was doing fine. I could plan things out, decide which things I was going to work on. And all of a sudden, I'm all scattered. I didn't know what to do next. I had to finish up some stuff. I started this one, started that one. That's the time the medicine's wearing off.
Yep, yep.
And
one of the things that you said there, go ahead, finish.
Go ahead. Yeah.
One of the things that I get asked commonly is, how do you know if your medications are working? A lot of people sometimes is they stop working. And over the years, just into people that I've talked to, is if you're taking too much, you can maybe feel like a little bit of a buzz kind of effect that's kind of going, in which case the people know it. The other side of it is some people that they take the medications and they expect themselves just to be organized all of a sudden. And is, in my business, what we say is, you know, pills don't teach the skills. And the litmus test for me is if you could only read like two pages of a book and now you can read two chapters, that's an indication that they're having a positive impact because you're able to sustain your focus on something longer than what you ordinarily dose. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're at the optimum dosage for yourself. It's just a good litmus test to say, hey, listen, something's happening here. And by the same token, if you can read maybe during the day some emails real easy, but you go home at night and you're having some difficulty then you can say, wait a second, I think the medications aren't necessarily working at this point in time, and have a conversation about, you know, what do you do in that particular situation with your mental health provider to see maybe if you do need, like, some type of boost in the evening.
Right. The other thing that's important is that one of the things that the executive functions – that doesn't work well with ADD is a self-monitoring, self-awareness.
Uh-huh.
So people with ADHD don't realize what they aren't able to do because, of course, they've never been able to do that.
Yep.
So that's one reason I encourage people to take your medicines every day, particularly when you're first starting, take them every day for at least a month because you don't know on a Saturday what it's going to help with unless you try it. So there are some things that are going to be pretty easy when it works to say, yes, I was able to start something, stick with it and finish it. But then there are other things like, whoa, I could read a couple chapters in a book or, any number of different things that someone wasn't aware that was a problem. And at the same time, like you mentioned, pills aren't going to get you organized and have you write everything down in your agenda and look at it every day.
Yeah, so let me just illuminate that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk to you. Let me just kind of, everybody out there, illuminate some of what this is. Let's just talk about food.
Mm-hmm.
In order to cook, you got to plan. You got to sit down, you got to make a list, and then you got to actually do the shopping. Then you've got to come back and there's food. You have to prepare that food. Then you have to cook that food and you have to clean up that food. Many of those tasks are repetitive and boring, and some of them require a level of executive functioning. All this is trouble central for those with ADHD in terms of sustaining focus. And the way it impacts your world is a lot of times is over the weekend, if you can sustain focus, you're actually preparing the food and not just ripping something out of a bag and eating it, this is how it actually is showing up in other places of your life where you wouldn't necessarily think about. Or packing for a trip. You don't necessarily think about, when you think about ADHD, it's showing up at school and work. But really to be able to sit there and think in your mind, run through the scenario of what you'll be doing when you're gone to identify the items that you need to bring is
exactly.
Executive functioning issue, and you don't realize it. But medications can help you sustain that focus and can help those in those situations pack where before they weren't able to because they were, you know, something else would catch their eye and all of a sudden they'd rearrange their closet or do something else. And so these are the types of things where ADHD shows up in your life that a lot of times you'd be surprised. It also shows up in relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. Palmer, we've
definitely
talked on some interviews before where Gina Parrott described, you know, there's women that have actually had their first orgasm when they were taking stimulant medications because they could finally focus on what was going on as opposed to the other things. So these are the types of things that are unexpected, and I really like your notion of let's get on this every day for a month to really see how it impacts your life. So did I misrepresent anything there?
Nope. I think that's exactly right. There are things someone doesn't recognize that they haven't been paying attention to, and many adults will come in and say, you know, life is just smoother.
Yep.
I have more clarity of thought, the fog lifted. Now, children can't or aren't as aware. A lot of times I'll see a 14-year-old, and he'll say, you know, I'm not really sure it's working. And mom says, wait a minute. You come home, you get to your homework, you get it done, you aren't arguing with your sister so much,
yep,
and you do your chores. I think it's working fine. And even with adults, it's often someone else observing to say, you know, you're getting your reports in on time. Your boss may say something about it, or certainly your significant other would.
It is amazing. Tell you what, we need to go to a break real quick. When we come back, I want to talk about the impact of side effects, because if you're getting the medications, the side effects can create some real problems, and I want to talk, because those are factors that are going to influence us too. So before we go, everybody, to learn more about Dr. Pomeroy, go to his website at addcenterofbellevue.com. That's addcenterofbellevue.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're having a great conversation with Dr. Pomeroy about getting ADHD medications dialed in correctly, and that it's really not a science, it's an art form. There's lots of factors to take into consideration, and basically you've got to start somewhere, and we're understanding a little bit more of what's there and really starting to understand the value of you witnessing yourself and articulating this stuff back to the mental health professional in order for them to get it right. One thing I do want to emphasize real quick before we start talking about side effects and their impact is, at the end of the day, I think you'll agree with me, Dr. Pomeroy, and I got this from Rick Green at Totally ADD, is we don't want you to have to take medications. We really don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like taking blood pressure medication, and I don't like taking thyroid medication, but I do it because it improves my quality of life if I didn't have that. And what we're talking about here is I don't think either one of us are advocating that we want you to take medications, but if it improves your life, your quality of life, then it's definitely something to consider. And I think this is the key here is if you're going to move in this route, realize it's going to be a journey to get it right and put the time and the effort in to getting it right, because if not, you'll struggle with it. So
right.
I put some words in your mouth, Dr. Pomeroy, but do you agree?
Yes, I think that tell someone, I think the medication is going to help. I'm certainly not trying to force them to take it or make them choose that medication's are not the only things. There have been some pretty good detailed studies that show for the basics, attention, reduce impulsivity, sometimes help with anger flashpoints. Medications work better than anything else. But you get more solid results if you also couple that with behavioral strategies, routine things for kids, anybody with ADD, aim for a positive. Yep. Don't try to take away things on the negative. So medications, it's unique with ADD. You can see the difference quickly.
Yep.
You know, I can take blood pressure medicine and great, I'm less likely to have a heart attack 20 years from now. But
yep.
You take ADD medicines and you realize this week was a whole lot easier. Kids, I got my homework done. I wasn't arguing all the time with mom or someone at work. Yep, this works better. So it's easier to make that choice of taking medication because it helps.
Yep.
And there's a balance then with side effects. Some side effects may be kind of a nuisance, but you can deal with it. Dry mouth is a common one, and there are pretty easy ways to counter that. But if you're really nauseated all day, or your medicine wears off at 5 o'clock and you have a heck of a headache and you have to stop what you're doing, those are not tolerable side effects. You shouldn't have to have those.
Yep.
So the choice of taking medicine shouldn't be, boy, do I want to endure that headache, but I have this big meeting. Shouldn't have to choose that. And that's where dialing it in to get the right medication and having the feedback makes a big difference.
So there's dry mouth, some nausea, some headaches, trouble with sleep, appetite suppression. These are all things that can be, particularly with the stimulants, these can be side effects of those. And if it's something small or minor, you can deal with it. But if it becomes major, it can really kind of rock your world. So when you're dosing these, one of the keys is if it's impacting your sleep, then that goes back to that timing thing because we're not –
There are a lot of factors even on the sleep. Certainly, if a child of 7 takes something that is maybe for them would last 12 hours, but they get up at 7 and they're trying to go to bed at 8:30, for a lot of these, the effect on sleep lasts longer than the effect on focus. So that kid may not be able to get to sleep until 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a factor. I wouldn't choose the longest acting medicine to start with a 7-year-old. And the other interesting thing about sleep, when someone comes back in, well, I've been taking this medicine, I'm having difficulty sleeping, and it's hard to get to sleep. First question I ask, particularly adults, is it hard to get to sleep or is it hard to get to bed? Most people with ADD, adults, it's quiet, and now I can get a couple things done. I was going to check this website, and with the fact that people ADD get so into it, they don't realize, I was just going to do one more thing. Now it's 1:30 in the morning. So looking at the medicine's worn off by 7 o'clock. That's not keeping you awake at 11.
Mm-hmm.
The other interesting thing is many people – with ADD, okay, the medicine's worn off. Now their rapid thinking bounce around pinball mind is going, and they get into bed, and all these different thoughts are happening. That's what's keeping them from getting sleep. Many of those people, if they take a low dose of a short-acting stimulant an hour before they go to bed, they sleep great because it's calmed their mind down, just like the one does in the morning.
That's
so there are a lot of different factors on the sleep.
Yeah, I'm a person, you give me caffeine, I'm up for a long time. You give it to my mom, it puts her to sleep. It's just interesting how that can have an impact. And I have heard of those some people that need just a little bit of that instant release stuff just to kind of take the edge off, to calm their mind down so they actually can go to sleep. So,
right.
Well, sleep is a big one. Another big concern out there sometimes is appetite suppression.
Right. That's one of the biggest. I tell people, okay, there are nuisance side effects you may be able to put up with. Significant ones that we're going to have to track and maybe change medicines. And particularly for children, the suppression appetite is a big one. It's one thing to say, okay, I'm not interested in having lunch. But if that kid doesn't eat much breakfast, doesn't have much lunch, they may be cranky by 4 o'clock, not because their medicine's wearing off, but they have low blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And every person who's taking care of anybody with ADD, particularly under 18, checking their weight every time and their height. Kids often will lose, they may lose 5-6 pounds. And so they go kind of down on a growth curve, but a year later they come back to the place they would have been.
Yep.
Meanwhile, their height continues to increase on the curve. And that is the most significant thing to me, is tracking the height. But if the weight drops off, and I'm always using the percentile growth curve to track this, if it's going down across two curves, say it was at 75%, now we're down close to the 25%.
Yep.
That's time to look at how can you boost calories, make sure there's good breakfast, protein in there. So it's definitely a concern. There have been a lot of studies on how much does it impact growth. Of course, it can't be too precise because it can't say, okay, now we're going to take you back to age 6 and see what happens if you don't take medicine.
Yep.
Usually the average comes out to half an inch difference. Maybe.
So I want to talk about that. We're talking about that kind of in the context of children. On the other side, some adults actually like it because they actually lose some weight that helps them in some other areas. So this is kind of funny because, again, this goes back to there's a lot of factors that influence these things and different stuff can happen. The other thing, Dr. Pomeroy, I'd like to kind of the coach in me wants to kind of come out here because as we start talking about getting the right drugs and the art of dialing in and we start talking about the side effects of the medications, one of the things that I talk about are – some things that are behavior-related that can impact these side effects. So, for example, protein and breakfast. Breakfast is no longer breakfast. It's medicine. And protein becomes very, very important in the morning to help manufacture neurotransmitters because the drugs kind of help collect them in the right place. And they actually kind of act as a little bit of – they help kind of time-release things. And so protein – a big breakfast many times, particularly for a kid or adults, becomes very much a part of the medication regimen, which from a coaching perspective comes back into my side, like how do you remember to actually have that breakfast? And I'll coach some people like you have the big breakfast and then you take the medications as opposed to taking the medications and then trying to eat a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I learned years ago, and I always love this because most people don't realize it, is the medications suppress your appetite, but they also, particularly the stimulants, they dehydrate you, and they inhibit your urge to drink. And so if you're taking a stimulant, particularly the adults that are taking coffee in the morning, they're taking the stimulants, you're becoming dehydrated, your urge to drink is then suppressed. So later in the day, sometimes that headache is showing up because you're dehydrated in the RE tech system. And that goes back to a behavioral thing, is you need to be drinking water on a regular basis through the day because it's not the stimulant necessarily that's causing it, but it's the headache that you're getting because you're not drinking. Other areas find is exercise can be very, very good on the sleep side. So if you're exercising rigorously in the afternoon, you might have had some sleep issues for the stimulant, but the exercise gets you tired enough so you actually can fall asleep and or maybe take a look at melatonin at certain times of the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Again, all of these are designed, these are behavioral things that you have to remember that you have to be organized to do, to put in place to kind of counteract the stimulants so that you don't have the negative side effects, so that we can get the right drug at the right time at the right dose to improve your quality of life.
Yep.
So
one of the things I want to go back to, Jeff, on the protein at breakfast particularly, and one of the other things about protein, most of the protein we eat actually goes into energy production, but it takes longer time to transform it, metabolize it into essentially blood sugar. So you get that sustained effect. You don't have an up down of just having frosted flakes.
Yep.
However, many people aren't aware of the concept of complementary proteins. That is, sure, you can have eggs or bacon, but there are 17 essential amino acids, which are the building blocks of proteins. Many foods may have 12, but if milk has, for instance, 12, and whole grain bread has 7, well, between the two, they may come up with all 17. So whole wheat toast and yogurt or a glass of milk or cheese, that can give you a complete protein, so you don't have to always have eggs and bacon. And that's something that then can open up a lot of different choices in terms of you don't have to have the same thing. And kids get a wider range of choices to say, yeah, I like bagels and cream cheese. Great.
Yep.
You like peanut butter? Put some peanut butter on your toast, the peanut butter in the toast in the milk. You're going to get protein out of it.
So everybody that's listening to this, is just let's back up and get a big recap. Is you've got different types, and we've been really talking much more about the stimulant medications as opposed to some of the other ones. But you've got the different types that do different things, and you know, Dr. Pomeroy will listen to you, and maybe you have some emotional and agitation that will influence his decision on where to start. But it's not the same thing. So we have that.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the duration that we're dealing with. What's your lifestyle? When and how long does it take your body to metabolize these things? We have side effects that are being impacted. Sometimes one medication will produce stronger side effects than another medication, so that goes into the decision. Then we have the side effects. Is it something small that we can deal with by maybe chewing gum for the dry mouth or exercising, or is it a game changer that we need to make some adjustments? Getting all that stuff right. And the other side of it, too, is if you're going to do the exercise or the eating the breakfast and the hydration type things, that becomes more of a behavioral and a coaching thing that you
mm-hmm.
have to adjust the world to be organized enough for you to do that, to counteract those things so the drug can kind of take place. So the point of this show is don't expect to walk into the doctor, get a diagnosis, walk out, and be done. This is a very iterative process that takes some time to get right. And
mm-hmm.
if you do get it right, it can have a very positive, profound impact on your life. But if you walk in and you get a medication, I mean, and this happens all the time with me, is I took the drugs once and they don't work, and I find out that, you know, I got 40 milligrams of, like, Adderall, and I feel like this zombie feeling. I'm thinking, well, maybe you just started way too high, and then they bounce out and they have
mm-hmm.
a negative experience because they didn't realize everything that kind of goes into this. And the patient has got to put some skin in the game, because you can only do what
yep.
you can. If they are not observing, articulating, you're at a loss as really how far you can go.
Right, right. And one thing I'd like to point out is that many physicians don't know that much about ADHD. Many physicians are very leery about using what are called controlled substances, and narcotics and the stimulants for ADHD are kind of the highest control, a Schedule II medicine.
Yep.
So someone who doesn't know much about ADD may look in a book and it says, okay, you start with 20 milligrams of an immediate release medicine, and someone either gets side effects or it doesn't work. And unfortunately, many doctors or even patient would conclude, well, it didn't work, I probably don't have ADD. Nah, it may not have been the right medicine.
Yep.
And certainly if a medication, you've tried five of them and it really doesn't get you a good effect, either you're part of the 10% of people that aren't going to get a good positive effect, or you may really not have ADD. So it may be
yep.
a question of, let's go back and revisit things. Oh, you have
yep.
bad sleep apnea, which hopefully is
yep.
going to come out in the beginning.
Yep.
Well, that can show up like ADD. Let's take care of your sleep apnea and see what's going on. This seems to be your bipolar disorder. It's not ADD at all.
Even since you can have ADD and it's so often you've got something else, you can have OCD,
mm-hmm.
you can have bipolar at the same time, and sometimes these medications actually make those conditions worse. So it can get really, really kind of complicated in here. So it's about getting the right diagnosis, working with your mental health professional to get the right medications at the right time. And again, the key, if you walk away with nothing else, is that, hey, this is a process to kind of get you there.
Yeah.
And participate in it. Don't get overwhelmed by it. If you're listening to this and you go, oh my God, there's so much kind of going on, get somebody to sit down and help you with and talk about it and document it, because your life, if stimulants can help you, they can be a game changer for you, but realize it's going to take a little bit of work, a little bit of time, a little bit of effort. So,
exactly.
Need to wrap this up. Any final thoughts, comments, or anything before we close things out?
I guess the thing that many people say, well, do I have to take this, or what happens here, or what if this happens? And I'll say, you know, as soon as we get to the point you have the diagnosis, we're looking at medications, it was one of the options. The answer to everything is it depends. It depends on which medicine is going to work for you, what you need it for. You may need it through high school, and then you get to college, and now you can exercise every day. You only have two classes, and you're interested in what you're doing. You may not need medicines. When you're 32 and you have two kids, a marriage, a second job, you might need them again.
Yep. That's very, very, very well put. There's multiple people that I coach that will take instant release only a couple times a week when they got to do like some heavy writing or some heavy reading, but the rest of the time they function real well. And other times it kind of comes back around. One other thing that I'd like to just throw out there that just occurred to me is many times those with ADHD, women in particular, they've got it dialed in and things are going good, but they hit that stage of life like premenopausal, and hormones can begin to throw things a little bit out of whack, which is a whole other conversation.
Exactly.
But I just wanted to throw that out there because Linda Rogley does a lot. She's the ADD diva, and she specializes in coaching women that are kind of going through it. She calls it the trifecta. Is it ADD, AGE, or menopause? And there's a lot kind of going on there. So, Dr. Pomeroy, I got to tell you, this has been a great show. Thanks for coming on.
Jeff, I enjoyed it very much. I love to help people understand some of the intricacies of using medications and other things. And I think your point that this is a process, it's not a come in, great, now I'm better. The process and working with your mental health professional to dial things in takes a while.
Absolutely. So everybody, hope you enjoyed it. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.